Just treat your customers well and they're going to keep buying from you, right? They're going to go and tell their friends, oh my God, I had this great experience. And what you do is when people say, thank you so much, you gave me the best experience, screenshot it and put it on your fan page or your group and be like, hey, we just helped this customer out. This is what they said, you know, come go tell your friends about it, right? And so there is just a massive snowball effect when you have great customer service.
This is The Fighting Entrepreneur, the podcast dedicated to entrepreneurs looking to change the world. Learn how to start, build, and scale a business in today's highly competitive business environment. Here's your host, The Fighting Entrepreneur, Anik Singhal.
What's up, you crazy fighting entrepreneurs? Welcome back to The Fighting Entrepreneur Podcast. This is your favorite person in the world, Anik Singhal, and today we're going to talk about eight accelerators that can triple your revenue instantly. I'm not talking about getting more traffic. I'm not talking about things that you can't control. I'm talking about things you can right now, this very minute, that are in your control that could up to triple your revenue. And so it's going to be a great episode. But before we start, I got to say this. Come on. Are you a part of Learn.com yet? Are you a member? It's free to join. Listen, we're going to put 10 million people into Learn.com, L-U-R-N.com. You can either sit aside and watch us go right by you, or you can join the movement. We have entrepreneurs coming together from all over the world. We want 10 million entrepreneurs connected from all over the world, helping each other. And that's how we're going to change the world. You know, when I was younger, my dream was to change the world. It's hard to do alone, right? So I decided, why don't I help build and help empower 10 million entrepreneurs? Then let them change the world, and then I can take credit for it. So that's awesome. So go to learn.com, L-U-R-N.com. Join the community. We've got some amazing free courses. We've got paid courses. We just have amazing things happening, and we're bringing in new experts and new courses almost on a daily basis. So L-U-R-N.com, free to join, free to look, and free to take our free courses. All right, so now I want to introduce our guest for today, because not only is he a brilliant person, I mean, he's going to show you eight secret accelerators to triple your revenue. He's a really dear friend. I've known him now probably for close to a decade, if maybe just a little less than that. And his business partner, I've known for maybe 15 years. So these are people I truly trust, and I know they know their stuff because they have been around. They have built multiple businesses. And today I have with me Mark Thompson. You know, Mark and I have known each other for so long. We have done things together. We've helped each other. He's one of the first people I'll go to when I have a question. He's done over $20 million in sales. And right now he's building a company, a SaaS company called Pay Kickstart. And it's growing ridiculously. Right before we started, we were talking about just the massive success he's having. But here's the cool thing. If you remember, we had the CEO of Sendlane, Jimmy Kim, on to talk about, you know, email strategies and how emails get delivered and how you can make more money with email. And why was that cool? It was cool because Jimmy oversees two to three billion emails a month. So when you can see at a high level multiple users doing something, you can gather data quicker. It's like a superpower to be able to. So that's why he knows email like that. But Mark runs a company called Pay Kickstart, and he can oversee lots of people who are running transactions and sales online, e-com, digital publishing, doesn't matter if you're selling online. He's watching all of his users, and he can study and see who's doing what and what's working. So we're going to really get some tremendous knowledge right from the key source. So Mark, man, thank you so much for being here with us and for providing this great community just free knowledge. Just we're blessed to have you, man. Thank you.
So are we officially dinosaurs now?
You know what? It's so funny. Someone recently, it hit me so hard. I was talking to a person recently and they said, you're like the grandfather of internet marketing. I'm like, what the? I'm like, seriously? Made me feel old. Yeah, man, we are the dinosaurs. We've been around for quite some time. It's cool. Someone else called me an OG and I'm like, all right, I'll go with that. That's better than grandfather, right? So
we're like,
yeah,
second
man, we've been
generation.
Around.
We're not first generation.
We're not
godfathers.
First. No, yeah. No, Corey Rudel, I always look at, was kind of the grandfather of it. So
absolutely.
May he rest in peace. But
I'm excited. So as you were mentioning, you know, Pay Kickstart has been our focus for about 3 years now. And so we've been lucky enough to have all sorts of different vendors use our platform. And we've processed collectively as a platform over $150 million. And so what I thought I would do today is kind of summarize what we and other vendors are doing with our platform to really maximize each customer that comes through your door. So you don't have to worry about, well, where am I going to get more traffic? Well, how about you just worry about the existing customers and how to maximize the lifetime value of every customer. So I think that's what we're going to be talking about today.
I mean, I'm super excited. So listen, for everyone who's wondering, we're going to dive right in. Okay. You guys know how we are at the Fighting Entrepreneur. We don't really care about the story as much. We want to get into the tactical. You can look him up and you can find his websites. He's got some amazing products. Or you're going to go to paykickstart.com. So go read the story there. Mark, I want to dive right in, man. Let's go into round number one. Let's talk about secret number one, accelerator number one.
So the first one is order bumps. And so if you're not familiar with what an order bump is, it's really just offering an additional product at checkout. And I'm sure you've seen this before, right? And they do this in all different industries. Say you go to Omaha Steaks and you want to buy some steaks online. After you add it to your cart, they say, well, it looks like you just bought four steaks. How about add four more at a discount? So you see this everywhere you go. And we do it in the digital space all the time. So maybe if we're selling a piece of software, we'll say, hey, well, instead of buying the personal license, how about you upgrade and get the agency license for an additional $47? We did it with a physical book. Like you have your book right there on the desk. One thing that we did was we had a physical package where we gave them a book, we gave them some mind maps and a whole bunch of things. We shipped it out to them and we noticed a whole bunch of people saying, hey, I'd love the digital versions of this, not just the physical. And so what we did was we added an order bump. When they added the when they purchased the physical package from us, we said, hey, you can get the digital versions of everything you're gonna get. You're gonna get it for, you know, you'll pay an additional $20. So you see it everywhere, guys, right? Go to a rental car company and you go to rent a car. Hey, for an additional $5, you can get this premium vehicle. So you see order bumps everywhere you go.
You see it at a grocery store. I mean, when you're walking into the aisle to actually do your transaction, that's where the magazines are, the candy is, the little bottles of soda are. That's a bump. So while you were talking, I just wanted to share this data with everybody. And by the way, I forgot to mention this. If you're listening to us, go to anikpodcast.com, A-N-I-K-podcast.com. All the show notes, links, anything we drop are there. We'll keep these eight notes. So if you want a quick, you know, just recap, you can go to anikpodcast.com. And if you're watching this on YouTube, it'll be in the description below. So I want to share this with you, how powerful a bump can be. So this very book offer right here, we run, we're used to run, now it's digital. We used to have, you can buy it for $7.97 shipping and handling. So if I sold 100 of them, this is actual data I pulled up. If I sold 100 of them at $7.97, I would transact $797, right? If I do a bump offer on this, which I do, it's a 47 bump, I usually convert 15%. So that's 15 people out of the 100 will purchase a $47 bump. Now, what's great about bump is it's not a whole page. It's not a bunch of copy. It's usually just like a little box. It's like, hey, you did so-and-so. Do you want to say yes to this? I get 15 at 47. It's $705. I almost doubled my revenue just by adding a little box that's like literally this big. So order bumps, I love. Great tip. And I don't care if you're doing e-com, recurring, digital publishing, you're right, Mark. Like an order bump should be the very first thing. You cannot not have it. Anything else on order bump, Mark, or should we move on?
I actually had a case study with that physical package. So we actually did a free plus shipping offer. So it was $14.95 for the free plus shipping. And then we did a $7 order bump. We had 61% of the people take the order bump, which it's a $7 order bump. So it's not huge, but it just goes to show you 61% took that. And we could have probably increased the price point, but just goes to show you guys the power of an order bump. And it's so simple to add, especially if you have a shopping cart that allows you to enable it.
No, that's amazing. And not only that, but it puts them into the yes track. So it gets them kind of in this track of saying yes to you and upgrading their relationship with you. So you're probably going to get a higher conversion on all your other upsells too, just because you added a bump. It's so crazy, but that's how the psychology works. Love it. Order bump. Write this down and put it into your business. All right. Well, I think we should go ahead and move forward, but my team is flagging me. I forgot the most important thing here. I think this is like the 18th episode where I've forgotten this. I don't know why. And I keep saying it's the most important thing. So Mark, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to raise your right hand and repeat after me. Okay. I'm Mark Thompson. Do solemnly swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
Do solemnly swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
and reveal all my accelerator secrets. All right. Thank you. I really, for anyone who's listening is wondering, why the heck does Anna keep forgetting? I'm going to come clean right now. It's because we typically do these, I'll record episodes like back to back to back for a week or two. And so I get into the rhythm, right? But the first one or two, I forget. And then I take a break for 2 or 3 weeks. And so when I come back, I'm rusty. So if I stop being rusty.
Habits.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to round two. So Mark, round number two, accelerator number two, go.
Okay. So, and it might seem kind of obvious, but having upsells in your sales funnel, right? So why not sell someone again after they just purchased from you? So this is very similar to an order bump, but it's after the initial sale. Now, you probably have heard of upsells, and I'm sure you've seen them all over the place when you go to buy something online. But one thing that we like to take it a step further and do one-click upsells. And so I'm sure you've purchased something on Amazon and how easy it is to buy something with one click, right? And so why not, once you already have the customer's billing details or information, allow them to purchase additional products from you with just one click? And I'll tell you, this transformed our business overnight when, you know, if we have one, two, three different upsells in the funnel, if they don't have to continuously add their billing details after each step, right? We want to make it as frictionless as possible throughout the checkout process. It increased our transaction value by 30% on average, just by having one-click functionality. And so kind of Amazon was the pioneers of this. They actually tried to not allow other e-commerce stores to be able to use this functionality. But then I believe it was like 7 or 8 years ago that changed. Now e-commerce companies can use this functionality. So why not use it inside of your upsells and your sales funnels?
So I got some questions for you here, because you're right. Everyone knows about upsells. I mean, I've had upsells for a long time. And again, you do the math, even if only 5 or 6 or 7% of the people accept your upsell, it can again add another, 50 to 100% to your revenue. But I have a couple of questions regarding the one clicks part. So we had built one click into our Learn Nation platform. So it's there, we just ignore it. The reason we took it out was because we felt like, so when you buy something and you go to the next page and there's a video, you know, you obviously don't let people skip around in the video, and then there's a big button or there's a link or something happens. Basically what was happening is people were clicking the button to buy, but were like, I didn't know, I was just trying to get to the next page. And so we started getting a lot, this happened during the book launch, because we're selling like thousands a day. So we were getting a lot of people saying, hey, what is this $197? I didn't want this or whatever. How do you address, because I'd love to be able to do one click again, but I don't want to have chargebacks or all these like upset customers. How do you address that?
Right. So typically what we'll do is we'll actually show them the no thanks link or I want to decline this offer, very visible near wherever that buy button is. So for one thing, you need to make sure that, and maybe even have specific messaging saying, yes, I'd like to add this to my order with one click. So you can just be a little bit, just be specific with the verbiage, but then also right below that buy button, just be like, if you want to decline this order, you can do that as well. So you don't want to hide that link where it's way down the page. Some people will try to do that to try to trick you. So you want to be transparent with it.
And have you ever tested, or is there anything to be said about adding another confirmation? So even if they click that I want to buy this, and a pop-up comes and says you will be charged, blah, 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 are you sure? But I guess that will kill conversions probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, it will obviously. So there's that balance, right? I mean, you want to make it as seamless as possible for the customer, but you're right, you will have those scenarios. And actually, over the 3 years that we've been running Pay Kickstart, we've had a few people ask for that. And it's actually on our roadmap to add that little barrier to just like kind of double confirm that they do want to purchase for the people that, accidentally click that buy button. At least from what our experience has told us, that it's a small fraction of people that go and buy it and accidentally push that buy button. So it's all relative. You're obviously doing, if you're doing thousands of transactions every week or every month, there is going to be that nominal amount that do purchase on accident.
Awesome. Here's another question for you on upsells. Pricing. What's the best way to determine a good price of an upsell?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So, with upsells, there's always going to be a certain percentage of people that have the financial means to pay you more money, right? And obviously the higher that price point is, the lower the percentage, but you don't want to ignore those people, right? If it's a $100 front-end offer, there's still a fraction of those people that are going to be willing to pay you $500, $1,000, $500, or $5,000, and it may not be right away, right? You obviously have to build rapport with them and build value with them first. So at least if you're doing like an upsell right after the initial purchase, I always try to increase the price point by 20 to 50% around. So if I have like, it depends. So if I have like a $47 offer, I may try to upsell them to $77 or $97. You don't want to make it a huge jump. Like if I just went from a $47 product to $1,000, that's going to be really hard. That's a big stretch because you haven't provided them a ton of value yet. So if you are going to do more of like a high ticket upsell, we usually put that on the way back end, like a webinar where it's either automated or it's a live webinar that you deliver to them a few days or a week after they have, you know, experienced the product and gotten value from it.
Got it. And what about something like where your front end is so low cost, like a book, right? Like, so I had a $7.97 book. Going up by 20 or 50% wouldn't really make any sense. How much of a leap would you take in that case?
So, you know, for low price point products, in my opinion, those are more for lead generation, right? I mean, really just building your email list, building your following, and then monetizing it down the road through coaching or whatever it is. Like, obviously with your Learn membership program, the book was just a gateway to get them exposed to your brand and what you have to offer.
Got it. So any idea on what the pricing would be like for a good upsell for a book like this?
I mean, we, again, like the one example we had, we did the $14.95 shipping and handling or free shipping, free plus shipping. And then we did a $7 upsell. So, I mean, you want to keep it fairly low, especially if it's more of a lead magnet, it's more of a lead generation. It's not really meant to make you a ton of money, right?
Got it. All right. Awesome. Well, you know, all I can really say to this is upsells have made me so much money. Actually, I can say that upsells have been so important in our business that today we would not exist if they did not exist. So for most part, I can tell you this from my personal experience, if you're running traffic through Facebook, Google, or any ad network, it is virtually impossible for you to survive unless you have upsells. Unless you're willing to bleed a ton of money and you're willing to be break even at 3 or 4 or 5 months through your back end, unless that's something that's possible for you. Otherwise, if you're trying to recoup your money quickly so you could scale, it's impossible to do it without the upsells there. Mark, I would love to move to round number three if you're good.
Yep.
Yeah, so go ahead, round number three.
Okay. So the third one is cart abandonment emails. So there's always going to be a fraction of people that come to your checkout page and they put in their email address, right? But they don't actually finish the transaction. They have their cart out, they're ready to go. But for whatever reason, right? They got distracted, the browser crashed, whatever it may happen. So it's important that you follow up with these people with an email saying, hey, your order is pending. You haven't completed it yet. Go back and finish it. And so they're, I forgot what the actual metrics are. I think it's about 20 or 30% of people that have actually put in their name and email address end up leaving and don't actually, it may even be higher than that.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a fraction of those people. And so why not trigger, you already have their email address, okay? Especially for multi-step checkout pages, right? If you have one or if you have 2, 3, 4 steps, it's always important to get their name and email address first. And then next step, get their billing details, because if they don't fill that out or they second guess themselves, you can at least follow up with them with a cart abandonment emails.
Got it. All right. I love this. This is not something that we're currently doing inside of Learn, so I know that I can definitely implement this. How many emails would you recommend sending out to someone who's cart abandoned? And at what frequency?
I mean, so what we'll do is we'll usually send one about 5 to 10 minutes after they have left the cart, because that's obviously when they were just there. That you want to strike when the iron's hot.
Yeah.
So we'll typically send it out about 5 minutes after they have left. Sometimes we'll do 2, maybe 3. It really depends, but typically we'll just send one because we don't want to be too annoying with our emails, right? And so usually one, if we do a second one, it may be within 24 hours.
Got it. Awesome. All right. Well, I don't have anything to add to there. I think we should keep moving along. So let's go to round number four. So, all right, round number four. What's our secret accelerator number four for the funnel?
So the fourth one is just really offering incentives to your past customers, right? If they're your most loyal fans, your raving fans, your raving customers, just incentivize them. Give them a coupon, give them a loyalty discount. It could also even be linked to your affiliate program. So, hey, you know, since you love our product, go and tell other people about it. So it's offering incentives to either get them to buy your products or just tell the world about what it is that you do and what you offer.
Wow. So is that something that's built into Pay Kickstarter? Like, is that something that you guys have automated the process of?
So yeah, so there's a few things. So you can send out coupon codes, right? So you can actually send out a personalized coupon code to someone after they have taken a certain action. So you can do that. And then obviously there's the affiliate management side of things where you can do more of a traditional affiliate program where, hey, you'll earn 20, 30% commissions for anybody that you refer. Just give them this unique link, send it off to them. If they buy, you're going to get 30% of the sale.
That's awesome. And you know, you see this in e-com companies all the time, like Shopify and all. They have all these apps, right? You can add all these apps. So I remember a couple of years ago, it's probably been a year and a half or 2 years ago, when dropshipping kind of became this massive craze, there was so many people trying different apps. And one of the apps that I thought was hilarious, but then I saw the results it was producing for my friends, I thought, wow, that's amazing. It's so simple. Was as soon as someone purchases, I think it would activate a coupon code for X amount of time, like 3 or 4 hours. It was like a 20% off coupon code. And it was creating thousands and thousands of dollars in just absolutely free money I had friends who were making $20,000, $30,000 a month in sales. They add that app and all of a sudden they're making $35,000, $38,000. I mean, that's like a substantial 15, 20% increase in revenue. Have you seen trends like that when you see this implemented?
Absolutely. And actually something that we started doing with our checkout pages, when we have a coupon, we'll auto apply that coupon at checkout. So they don't even have to enter it into the coupon code field. It's automatically applied when they click on the checkout link.
That's really cool. So if that customer, so this is neat, right? I could completely implement this at Learn. So when you're logged into Learn, obviously our system knows if there's any coupon right now that's active in the system that you would qualify for, you know, right. Whether you're a new member within a certain day, whether you had a recent purchase, so you're within a certain window, whether there's a promo that we're running. And what a great service for the students. Like, we just auto figure it out and apply it on their behalf. And they always know that they're getting the best deal at that moment, at that time that they can qualify for.
Yeah. So one of the things that we'll do is we'll do a time sensitive promo code, and obviously it'll auto apply to the checkout page if the coupon is still active. And then we also add a little countdown timer in the lower right hand corner of the checkout page. So it's kind of in sync. Hey, you have, you know, 1 hour left to redeem this. And so it just kind of builds in the scarcity.
No, I love this. So, by the way, I've already decided I'm going to be having my team listen to this. So Olga is going to be listening to it for features to implement into our Learn Nation. And so, Olga, if you're listening, I want to give you some notes here. Number one, well, we're already working on this. We need to fix our bump page and make it look better and be more effective. Number two, let's re-explore one-click upsell. Let's go back to that and see if we can't get it clearer and make it look better. Cart abandonment. We got to look at this, team. We don't currently. We collect everything on one page. Can we break it into two processes so we can do abandonment emails? And then also, I love this part about the coupon, auto-applying the coupon. How cool is that? It just relieves your customer of all pressure. Love it. All right. I want to keep chugging along, Mark. So let's move on. All right. Round number five, accelerator number five. Let's do it.
So number five is retargeting. I'm sure you've heard of retargeting before. You know, especially if you're doing any type of paid ads, if you're running paid ad campaigns, probably your highest return on investment are going to be retargeting ads. So if you don't know what a retargeting ad is, you can retarget anybody that visits your website. You can retarget customers. And so one thing I love to do is retarget customers for a few different reasons, right? I can drop a pixel, a retargeting pixel on a customer and know which products they've purchased from me and which ones they haven't. So if they went through my sales funnel and they only purchased the front end, I could send them a retargeting ad and be like, hey, wait a minute, you forgot something. And you could send them back into your funnel and have them go to a certain upsell if you want to. So there's a few different ways you can do it. You can retarget just customers, prospects, or you can target customers and continuously try to get them to upsell into, you know, your higher ticket coaching programs or products.
So that, I have a question for you there, and I'm going to have a confession. It's going to sound really silly, but everybody says this. Every single body I talk to, anyone who does media buying, they'll say, your retargeting ads are your best. You're going to have the highest ROI. And I got to tell you, if my team's listening right now, which I know they are, like Jess is listening, Amanda's listening, we sit there and scratch our heads because it's not true for us.
Okay.
We're constantly like, retargeting is not working for us. It's our most expensive audiences. We're not getting transactions. So we did decide, just as like a couple weeks ago, we said, all right, we're going to kind of clean the slate, wipe the slate clean. I'm going to start again because we've not done it right. Maybe we're trying to go too micro retargeting, like so all the audiences mm-hmm. are just too small and so CPM is high. But here's my real question for you. While we figure that out, I've been incredibly intrigued by the world of dynamic retargeting because we're building the Learn platform, right? So we're going to eventually have hundreds of courses, and I want to be able to do what Amazon and eBay, and even now I know Udemy is doing it because Udemy is doing some really AI type of retargeting, because I'll tell you why. I went to visit one of their courses about, I don't remember what it was about, speed learning or speed reading or one of those, and I start to see retargeting ad that has, it's a Canvas ad, so it's got multiple ads. Mm-hmm. or multiple products. And the main one, the first Canvas card, was the product that I had been visiting, was the sales page I had visited. But then it was like other speed learning, speed reading courses that I had not visited. So I caught that. I'm like, well, first of all, they're obviously retargeting me, which is smart, but they've got some kind of, and they're obviously doing dynamic because, yep. you know, that's, they know I visited that page. They've got 100,000+ courses now. So ain't no one sitting there doing all of these ads by hand. But then I was like, wow, they also know to like show me other courses in the same genre. So how does that work? How do dynamic ads work? Is it really hard? But how would I implement it for Learn? Do you know?
That's a great question. I may not be the most qualified person to answer that. One thing I can tell you, and so one thing that we added into Pay Kickstart, which is kind of cool and it's kind of related to what you're talking about, is we can automatically create custom audiences on the fly. So basically Pay Kickstart will talk to Facebook and the target audiences that you have. And so when someone buys your product, you can tell Facebook in a custom audience, hey, they purchased this product. So you can tag them in your audiences. And so it'll automatically keep track of, you know, in real time when new customers are coming in, you can continuously keep adding them into your target audiences. You don't have to go and manually export the list, import it into Facebook. It just does it on the fly. And then you can serve the ads however you want according to the target audiences that you set up.
That's awesome. I love it. All right. Retargeting for paid ads. You guys should try it while I'm also trying to learn and master it. So let's keep moving on. All right. Round number six. All right, round number six, accelerator okay. number six. Go ahead, Mark.
So the most obvious thing that people overlook is excellent customer service, right? Uh-huh. You won't, it's just people overlook it. And it's so simple, right? Just treat your customers well, and they're going to keep buying from you, right? They're going to go and tell their friends, oh my God, I had this great experience. And what you do is when people say, thank you so much, you gave me the best experience, screenshot it and put it on your fan page or your group and be like, hey, we just helped this customer out. This is what they said, you know, come go tell your friends about it, right? And so there is just a massive snowball effect when you have great customer service. So train your support agents well, and don't treat your customer support center like it's a cost, right? Mm. Like you're just losing money, right? Treat it like it's a profit center, and train your customer service reps on how to naturally discuss upselling and getting your customers into larger programs, right? Now you can't do that if you're offering bad customer service. If people are angry and upset, you're not going to be able to do this. But if you're offering great customer service and they're like, oh my God, thank you so much for everything you've helped me out with, you know, why not just say, well, hey, you know, before you leave, can we just review your account and just see if there's anything else that we could possibly help you out with, right? So just some of the most simplest things people overlook, but just great, great customer service.
And could not agree with you more. So at Learn, that's one of the things we pride ourselves on the most. I mean, we have like a 7 or 8 hour maximum response time. And we actually had gotten that down to 3 hours. And then what we have different teams in different time zones. And so we had to let go. Actually, one person left in one time zone, and then the other person we had to let go of. So we lost a time zone. And the worst case that happened is we went up to 8 hours. And we're going to fix that now coming up soon. And we'll be back at the 3 hour. And we get these messages all the time. But I want to tell you something really cool that I just did, Mark. And I think, you know, this will really come back to what you're talking about. So as I filmed this with Mark, I'm in the middle of a launch happening at Learn. We're releasing a product that's killing it. It's doing super well. Actually, here's what happens, right? So if you ever watch a launch, your day one is going to be huge. And then day two, day three, day four, they get depressing. Like you kind of want to jump off of a building because you think life is failing because you got that hit of cocaine on day one and you just wish it would stay like that, but it's not. Day two, day three, day four, like, it kind of swings down. And then as you're coming close to the end and scarcity build, it'll swing back up. But great marketers and great people who launch products try to figure out humps in the middle. Like, what can you do in the middle to kind of get a little excitement again and pull some revenue? So we're, 2 days in? I mean, this is the third day of the launch. So I kind of saw the trend of the sales slowing down yesterday. So I said, you know what, let's take a step back today. Let's do something different. So we sent an email out this morning, full blast to my whole database, where it goes straight to a page that is nothing but a headline and a Google spreadsheet embed. All right, a Google form. Mm-hmm. And all I said, and I've never done this before, I wanted to do a test. All I said was, hey, what is the number one question that's holding you back from making an investment into this program? And I didn't know. I'm like, it's a really targeted question. Like, I'm basically saying, hey, why didn't you buy? And only ask me stuff that, you know, is relevant to you buying. Yeah. And we sent it out. So I must have, before we started talking, Mark, the emails went out like an hour and a half before. So they're still sending. The systems are still sending. They're going to go out to like 1.4 million people. So we got some time here. But it wasn't even an hour and a half after sending. We had 78 responses. And here's the part that amazed me. The amount of marketing knowledge I picked up from it, because out of those responses, this is me guessing, 80% to 85% were all related to the investment. So can you please have a payment plan? We don't have a payment plan on it. People literally in there saying, can you please, like, we are getting over flooded with that. So we weren't planning on doing a payment plan for this offer because we didn't think it was that expensive. But I'm looking at this and I'm calculating, I'm like, you know what? For every one person who asks, there's 7 who are probably thinking it and didn't ask. So I'm doing the math. I'm like, I think we need to really highly consider the payment plan. Plus, maybe that means I need to do a little bit more work in my emails and in my videos to do like cost objections, right? Yeah. Like address the objection of it's too expensive. Then the second thing I saw, which would be another 15% of the, is people that are international. They're asking, does this work in Sweden? Does this work in Brazil? Does this work here? Hey, can this work in another language? I'm not good at English, but I'm great at French. And in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, of course. But then I look at my sales page. I'm like, hey guys, we never actually addressed this in none of our videos and none of our sales pages. So lo and behold, talking to your customers and asking them to ask you stuff actually has a huge ROI behind it, because now I'm going to, A, my team is individually replying to everybody right now. I got my customer service team individually reply. I bet you they're going to pull another 30, 40, 50 grand in revenue out just by taking a couple hours to individually reply to all these people as they come in. So talk about that. I mean, that's not a cost center. That's a profit center. Not to mention I, as a marketer, I'm reading them. So now I know kind of how to tailor my marketing to address these objections. So I love the fact that we are very focused on customer service, but you as an entrepreneur, you need to think of customer service as research, market research, and upsell opportunities and word of mouth opportunities. So yeah, I mean, Mark, I mean, I love this. This has been a big push, but in our industry, at least, Mark, where we come from, I wouldn't say it's our industry anymore. We were talking about that before we started. Yeah. But where we come from, customer service was like a nuisance. What service? Yeah. It was customer harassment, if anything. Like, you not serve, you harassed. So, love it, man. Anything else you want to add about just excellent customer service?
Well, I was going to say, just really quick, is that one thing we're implementing right now is an NPS score. So I'm sure you guys, if you've heard of Net Promoter Score,
yes.
You know, 0 out of 100, 10 being the highest, 0 being the worst in customer service. So what we're going to be doing actually really soon is we're going to be sending out a NPS survey to everybody on every customer. And we're going to do this probably on a quarterly basis or on a biannually basis. And we're going to just ask them one question: how's our customer support, or how's your overall experience with the product been? If it's between 8 and 10, we're going to follow up with an email and say, hey, it's great that you gave us such a great score. Would you mind going over to Capterra or G2 or one of our review sites and leaving a positive review there? If it's anything under 8, we're going to follow up and say, well, can you dig a little bit deeper and tell us what specifically is the problem? And then you can start to address those problems as they come in.
I love it.
So that's something that we're implementing, and that's very easy to do. There's tons of tools out there that do NPS, and you can automate this. So
what? So by the way, anyone who wants to learn about NPS and Net Promoter Score, I love the book, The Ultimate Question. That's where all of this comes from. The guys who created Net Promoter Score. This is used by Southwest. It's used by massive Fortune 50 and Fortune 500 companies. It's an awesome concept. What are a couple of the softwares, Mark, that can be used to implement this? Do you know any off the top of your head?
Well, we're going to be using Customerly. So it's
Customer.ly. .ly?
I think it's customerlead.com.
Okay.
It's an alternative to Intercom. We've used Intercom forever, but it's amazing how expensive Intercom is.
Yeah.
And there is an add-on, I believe, that you can install for Intercom for those of you who use it, but we're using it with Customerly.
I love it. All right. Okay, let's move on to round 7. All right, so round number 7, accelerator number 7, go.
So this is more specific to those who are selling one-time investments, one-time purchase products, switching them to a subscription-based right model, right? So, hey, a good example would be maybe you're selling supplements, right? This is probably more for the e-commerce world for selling physical goods. But hey, it looks like you're buying supplements. How about we put you on the auto refill plan where every month, it just automatically refills. And so it's just, you're basically getting them onto a subscription, right? Maybe you're selling consulting or coaching and they're paying you for each hour session that you provide them. Hey, instead of doing that, why don't you buy 10 hours a month and we'll just put that on a retainer. So try to figure out how in your business, you can roll them into a recurring based pricing model.
Man. Okay. Team that's listening. Olga, here's what I want to explore. We've done so well with this in the past at Learn. I mean, about 7-8 years ago, probably around the time that we met, Mark, I used to call myself the continuity king. I had a business that was running $1 million+ in rebills and selling continuity education. And it was awesome. And we haven't looked into it in a long time now. So what I really want to do is, because of Learn and the business model we have at Learn, we're going to have so many transactions happening because we're going to have so many products. We're going to have $5 products, $20 products, $30 products, $3 products. So why not make all of the bump offers a continuity program where we offer a ton of value? And that way you've got thousands of sales potentially happening a day that are just like plowing people into this continuity program that we have. And then that starts to build this baseline revenue that we can really rely on every month. So Olga, please write this down. I definitely want us to go over it. Love it, man. Before we move into the last one, anything else you want to add on continuity?
Yeah. So just to take it a step further, once you get them onto a subscription model, why not take them, hey, if they're on the monthly plan, why don't we try to lock them into an annual plan? Or 2 year, 3 year. A lot of SaaS companies do that. And you give them an incentive, give them a discount if they're going to lock in for a 2 year or 3 year agreement. Another thing you can do, especially like you've probably seen this before where, if you're going to cancel your subscription, instead of canceling it, why not say pause your account? You'll be able to hang on to all your data, all your campaigns, all your configurations, but you know, you'll hang on to it for $19 a month or $9 a month, right? At least instead of losing that customer and 100% of that revenue, this could be an option to say, hey, well, you can pause your account, or you'll have limited access to this account if you want to pause it, and you could pause it for up to 6 months or up to a year. And so that's a way to kind of regain some of that potentially lost recurring revenue.
That's a really cool idea. Yeah, I love that. That way that whatever they had paid for to that point, they can still continue to access. They just won't get the new stuff until they're back. Really, really cool.
Or you could say, hey, lock in or pause your account, but when we go to increase our price points, you'll still be grandfathered in to these prices as long as you are at least on a paused account.
Sounds like something a gym would do. Like I can.
Yeah, I mean, it happens everywhere.
LA Fitness does that. All right. Poorbuck said LA Fitness does that. $10 a month to pause.
Yep.
Smart. All right. Let's go to the last one. I'm excited because I've been getting tons of notes. My team's going to get super busy after this, so they're not going to like you, Mark, but that's all right.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. So round number eight, accelerator number eight, sir.
All right. So I saved the best for last, and I kick myself to this day. So from 2013 to 2015, we did not have a way to manage failed payments. So I'm sure you've heard of Dunning. What happens when a card expires? What do you do, right? On average, 30% of your customers, their payment details, their credit cards are going to expire. How do you handle that? And from 2013 to 2015, the shopping cart we used did not have any type of Dunning or way to recoup and have customers update their billing details. And we exported all of the failed transactions from Stripe and PayPal, and it equaled almost $1 million.
Ah.
So that was, it was a big kick in the stomach, but we lost just almost potentially $1 million of, this was money in the bank, guys. These are existing customers that are on subscriptions. We just didn't have an easy way for customers to go and update their billing details. And so that was obviously one big thing that we stress in Pay Kickstart is we have this Dunning sequence where as soon as it fails, we send them a link to go and update their details. They can change their billing method, right? Maybe they want to go from PayPal to credit card to PayPal, credit card to ACH transfer, and they'll still manage the subscription and keep it and keep processing it. So if you don't have that type of system in place, God, I mean, I had to learn the hard way, so hopefully you don't have to do that.
Something really smart that happened to me a month ago, and so I would love to eventually implement something like this at Learn Too. And that was, I guess whatever system I had gotten involved in, I was paying rebill. They must know when my credit card is expiring. I don't know how they maybe have saved that information. So this was a month before the credit card was going to expire. I started getting emails from them saying that your credit card will expire. And I actually went back and looked at their sequence. It was really smart. I ignored the first couple because I was just like, whatever, I got another month. I'll figure it out. Like, I'll do it later. And then by email three or four, they start to incentivize me. So what they're saying is, hey, we have a free package. We have this free thing for you. And that if and all you have to do is update your credit card and it'll unlock in your account and you'll have this free thing. And I'm like, first of all, as a marketer, I'm like, dude, that's smart, right? Because it's not going to cost them anything. It's sitting in the system. Right. But then as a consumer, I'm like, well, all right. And they threw some scarcity behind it. They're like, but you have to update your credit card before the end of the week. Otherwise, you lose this bonus. And guess whose butt went in there and updated the credit card like that? Right away, I went in and did it. And I don't think I have ever in my 16 years of being an online consumer proactively gone and updated my credit card for a damn thing. And it was because they were, A, in front of me. B, they threw an incentive out in front of me to do it. That was really cool. So as we start to build up our recurring revenue, especially if we're using the upsells to do that, then this will become a big thing for us to make sure we're ahead of people on their credit card rebills. But
it's really kind of a broader discussion of just overall customer communication, right? So if someone's on a free trial, just being transparent with them and saying, hey, your trial is going to expire in a day or 3 days. Just so you know, once that trial expires, if we have your card on file, then we're going to charge you X amount of dollars. A lot of vendors, they feel like, well, I don't want to send them that email because a lot of them are going to cancel, right? Well, at the end of the day, if they're not going to use your product, they're going to cancel anyways.
Yeah.
So you want to be transparent about it. So when it comes to free trial reminders, dunning, failed transaction attempts. Another thing that's coming up, which a lot of people don't even know about, is something called strong customer authentication. So you maybe just type in strong customer authentication. And so basically what it is, it's a new regulation specific for the EU, but it's going to probably get implemented everywhere for everybody. So right now, I think it takes place September 14th of this year. And so what happens is if there's a customer buying a product who lives in the EU and the vendors in the EU, there's going to be an extra authentication from the customer. They need to authenticate and say, yes, I want this transaction to go through. It's specific to recurring payments. And so this authentication, it's sent from the bank to the customer, and the customer has to acknowledge it and approve it, or else the payment's not going to go through. So if you're in the EU and you're doing subscription-based billing, you need to make sure that whatever shopping cart you're using, I know Stripe is on top of this. Some of the other ones are like that we talked to, they're like, yeah, we'll just see what happens. But this is something that's coming, and it's slowly going to get implemented. More and more EU banks will start to implement this once the regulation is actually live. But I have a feeling in today's world with data privacy and all this kind of stuff, it's going to get rolled out everywhere, and it's going to affect your conversion rates if you don't implement appropriately.
Wow, man. That's so powerful. Love it. All right. So listen, everybody, let's just regroup real quick and recap. Number one, order bump. Number two, upsells, specifically one click. Number three, cart abandonment emails. Break your order process down into two steps. Get that email from them first. Number four, incentives to past customers, coupons, loyalty programs. I love the idea there of auto applying a coupon, and that's something we're definitely going to do. Number five, retargeting for paid ads. Number six, excellent customer service. Don't look at your customer service as a cost center. Look at it as a profit center. Number seven, go to the subscription-based model. See how you can start adding recurring and continuity revenue. Number eight, failed payments, expired cards, and figure out how to really automate the process of getting those credit cards updated by customers so that you're not losing all that money. So powerful. Listen, Mark, we still have a few minutes. I really want to take a minute, if you're cool with it. I want to talk about Pay Kickstart.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yes, so
whatever you want to talk about.
Well, what I want to know is why you did it. Why are you crazy? You were chilling out in the internet marketing community, doing really well, yeah, making good money, coming up with awesome software. One of your softwares that's my favorite, there we go. Still till this day is EasyVSL. We use it in this company every day. By the way, I don't think I told you that. We use EasyVSL every day at Learn. So I want to put a plug out for that. Just Easy, EasyV, as in video, sales letter, VSL.com. Guys, hands down, an awesome software. I wish I had created it. It's that cool. How many customers have you sold into that now, by the way? It's a huge
50 or 60,000.
Yeah, it's a huge 50 or 60,000. Yeah. Freaking nuts. So here's the picture I see, Mark, okay? I see you, and especially when you were working with Matt Callen, you guys are building software. These are great software. These become like industry de factos, like EasyVSL. Everyone's using them. You're making good money. And then one day the both of you lose your minds and you're like, we're going to build a CRM and a payment system. And I remember when you first came to me, we talked about Pay Kickstart first time, like maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Right. Yeah. And what most people don't realize is building a SaaS company, it's hard. It's like, I mean, you know, I'm involved with Sendlane, but I get to do the easy stuff. I get to be the investor. Yeah. I watch Jimmy slog away every day in building that thing. The future is bright, but the present is like you want to bang your head against a wall. So you guys have been working on this forever, and I know you're having tremendous success now, which is awesome. But like, why did you go out to build Pay Kickstart to begin with?
Yeah, it's a good question. So a few different things, right? I mean, we've created lots of different software over the past 8 to 10 years. And, you know, I don't know if you could say that we kind of grew up as entrepreneurs. You know, I mean, we learned to be more disciplined, I guess. You know, as entrepreneurs, at least me, I love to innovate. I love to create. But one thing I realized is that was not sustainable. I couldn't go and just keep creating products after product after product. It just wasn't sustainable to be able to support all these products, be able to go and take them to the next level. And so we were making great money. We were selling tons of product. And so, but one thing that we saw, this major hole, was that all that we tried so many different shopping carts and so many different affiliate management solutions. And we were just losing so much money. As we were starting to scale up, there was so much opportunity for revenue that we were missing out on. And a lot of the stuff that we talked about, order bumps, one-click upsells, Dunning management, all this kind of stuff, we didn't have at our old shopping carts, or we had to duct tape it and we had to spend all this money, development resources, to code it ourselves custom. And so we actually built Pay Kickstart to be our own internal platform. It wasn't even meant for the public to use. And so I think this was probably 5 years ago. We built our own platform to process payments, and we just integrated it with PayPal and Stripe. And we actually used, I think, Infusionsoft at the time to handle the affiliate management side of things. And then we built our own internal affiliate management. And so then we had the whole platform and we were using it. And we had all these vendors asking us, like, man, that's an amazing checkout page. Or how did you do that with the checkout experience? And hey, I got this, update your billing detail email, all these things. And so we kind of got on the radar by accident from other vendors and people that we've worked with, and they wanted to use it. And finally, we're like, it's not only us who are having all these issues. It's other vendors as well. And so we decided, Matt and I were like, you know what, in order to create a platform, especially a payment platform, we either need to be all in or not in at all, right? Especially when you're dealing with people's money, and this is people's businesses, their livelihood, we needed to be all in. And so we decided, hey, you know what? We have our other business, which is kind of, it's not necessarily running on autopilot, but we have people and a team in place that kind of manage everything. But Matt and I, we rolled up our sleeves and we're like, we're going all in. And so I think about 3 years ago, we released it, we did a beta or a soft launch. And we brought on 25 or 50 affiliates or vendors to start selling their products. And I mean, it's just, the product has matured over the years. I mean, it's completely transformed from what it was, 5 years ago to 3 years ago to what it is now. And we have some guys doing, over $1 million a month in revenue. So we have some pretty big vendors and everybody from SaaS companies to coaches to information marketers. So it's been fun. I mean, it's been a challenge, but we feel like we're at a really good place now, and we're ready to put the foot on the gas and scale it out.
Oh, that's amazing, man. And I've heard nothing but amazing things about it. So Pay Kickstart, someone's watching right now. Of course, it's paykickstart.com. Who's this for? Like, if someone's using ClickFunnels, does it work with ClickFunnels? Is it a replacement to ClickFunnels, Infusionsoft, ClickBank? Like, where's this fit if someone's watching right now?
So there's two core components of it. It's a shopping cart, so it can handle all of your processing, right? So handling payments, whether it's a one-time payment, a recurring payment, you want to do free trials, paid trials, split pay. So it can integrate with your payment processor. We don't actually do the processing, but that's actually something we're going to be doing in the very short term. We're going to be our own processor, but you can integrate it with Stripe or Authorize.net or Braintree. And then we're also the affiliate side of things as well. So it's an affiliate tracking platform. You can offer commissions for a sale or for a lead. And then we just have all these conversion boosting functionality. Like we have all these checkout page templates. We have the one click functionality. We have order bumps. We have coupon codes, tax compliance, security, just everything that you need to run and take payments, accept payments, is what we do. And so to answer your question about ClickFunnels, we use ClickFunnels all the time. We use it mainly for creating sales pages, landing pages. That's one, and we have people ask us every day, like, well, I use ClickFunnels. Why not just use ClickFunnels? I'll provide a link. I actually create a landing page on a whole video just explaining the big differences between it. Because if you're using ClickFunnels or lead pages or WordPress or whatever it may be, those are great for building landing pages and sales pages. But the checkout process, the accepting payment, the affiliate side of things has always been kind of an afterthought. And so you don't have as much control, as much customizations as we need as business owners to be able to have full control over our business. And so there's a lot. So we use it in conjunction with ClickFunnels. So we use ClickFunnels to create our pages. We use Pay Kickstart to power our payments, our checkout flow, and our affiliates.
But someone who's using like for example, if you get paid Kickstarter, you don't need Infusionsoft or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. It'd be a replacement for that.
And how much is it to start with paid Kickstarter if someone's looking to begin? What are the starting price points?
So I guess it depends on when you're listening to this podcast. So right now we have a price as low as $29 a month. It doesn't give you the affiliate side of things. It gives you the ability to accept payments and be able to do one-click functionality, all that kind of fun stuff. And then it goes up to $149 a month. But when you're listening to this, the prices, we're going to be raising them very soon, probably in the next 2 months or so. And that's not really like scarcity. The product has matured a lot. And in order to take it to the next level, we need to raise the prices, right? If we offer 24/7 service and we have a pretty aggressive roadmap in terms of features and functionality. So that price will be going up. And then there's also going to be some limitations in the future as to how much you're going to be able to process. And then there'll be like some additional fees, but it's still going to be reasonable. I mean, if you're doing millions of dollars a month, you can afford it.
Just to show people, I mean, I think Infusionsoft like starts at like $800 a month or some stupid number. I was paying them a ridiculous amount of money, and now I'm paying Salesforce even more money. So all I can tell people is pay Kickstart. I've seen the inner workings. I have actually talked to a couple of friends who are truly known to be like very hard about this kind of stuff, and they hate every kind of system. And two of them, I won't call them out by names, but they know who they are, have actually said amazing things about pay Kickstart, Mark. So, and I can tell you, hearing anything good from them is always like, wow. That was what actually got me to go finally log in and play around once, because I'm like, okay, if they're like it, or if this person likes it, man, I really got to go check it out. So paykickstart.com, everybody. Easy VSL, just hey, because it's a software I love and you should totally get it. We use it every day with our video team just to create our stuff. It's such a powerful software. And then, Mark, do you have another website that people can go to just to learn more about you, to follow you and, all these other products that you have?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best place to engage with me or even anybody from our team is just go to our Facebook group. So just go to Facebook, put in Pay Kickstart, and then join our group. We basically let anybody in, just really anybody who's interested in how to generate more revenue and how to accept payments and affiliate management and all that kind of fun stuff. So we have tons of customers in there. We have tons of affiliates. We have over 40,000 affiliate partners now.
Whoa.
So it's also a marketplace as well for affiliates to find vendors. So any vendor, if you're looking to just organically get more and more affiliate partners, you can just list it in the marketplace and you can start to pick up affiliates that way. So you can go to our Facebook page. And then also, if you want, we prepared a PDF document that outlines in detail the 8 revenue accelerators that we talked about today. If you go to paykickstart.com/learn, you'll be able to download the PDF, which will just give you a summary of everything that we talked about on this episode.
That is awesome. Love it. Thank you so much. paykickstart.com/learn, Pay Kickstart Facebook group. Mark Thompson, look him up. This is amazing stuff. He's doing amazing things. Get involved. Mark, thank you so much for being here with us today on this amazing podcast and providing so much value for our Learn Nation community. Now, listen, if you're watching this on YouTube, you got to go down right now. Leave a comment. This guy took time away from his life, his family, and his business to be here to serve you. Let's say thank you, and let's just send our gratitude. Make sure you click the thumbs up icon. Make sure you click subscribe. Make sure you click the bell icon. And if you're listening to us on iTunes or any of the other syndicated places, please make sure you go leave us a great review somewhere and get this message out. Tell everybody you know about the Fighting Entrepreneur podcast. And of course, as I always say, when life pushes you, stand straight, smile, and push it the heck back. Go to learn.com, LURN.com. Make sure you have your free membership. Until next time, fighters, come on, go out there and fight for your dreams. I'll see you on the next Fighting Entrepreneur podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Onyx Singhal.